Blog Talk Radio.
Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank and Joan Adams, and I host this show. Joining us tonight is Samaya Malik, creator of the Good News Gazette. As the news on TV and the general news gets more and more negative, we welcome a publication that ferrets out all the good things that are happening in the world. The call-in number is 347-295-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate.
This is pretty cool.
Yeah, this is going to be wonderful. We will be all inspired and on a positive note after this show, for sure.
And after this, I will never watch... Well, I am a junkie of the news. But I would like not to be. Hello, Samaya.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic, thank you.
And this Joan and I, Joan Adams, is with me tonight.
Hey, Joan.
Yes.
How are you?
Hi, Samaya. Nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you guys as well.
Well, you certainly are doing quite a service in the world.
trying to. Just, I used to go through regular news fasts and just avoid the news altogether and then decided to just turn that on its head and seek out only the good stuff.
When did you do this? When did you start?
The site actually launched the tail end of March last year, but I came up with the idea in the fall of 2008. It was kind of in the midst of all of the gloom and doom around the financial crisis that had just happened, and in the midst of all of that, I had got sucked back into the news during the election season, and after it was over, I was preparing to go back onto my regular news fast and came across this story about this wonderful young boy by the name of Brendan Foster, who was in the process. He was terminally ill. And one day on his way to one of his doctor's appointments, he saw a group of homeless people and just decided, wow, they must be hungry. I need to do something to help feed them. And he kind of made that his dying wish, and people in his community rallied to the cause and, you know, made sack lunches and whatnot that got delivered to homeless people in that community. And then word spread all over the country, and people all over the country were doing the same with homeless communities where they lived. And so I thought, wow, just the powerful wish of one young boy combined with the media attention that it got really created this powerful story, and it made me, you know, feel really good that there was something positive to latch on to out of what otherwise might have been a negative story about, you know, this young boy fighting for his life. And it really just touched and inspired me so much that that evening I said to my boyfriend, I was like, what do you think about, you know, this idea that I have of just putting stories up like this that talk about all the good things that are going on in the world rather than constantly being bombarded by the negativity? And he thought it was a great idea. And so took me a few months to get started on it, and taught myself all the HTML and everything to build the website, and launched a few months later.
Wow.
Neat.
Yeah.
Do you, you must have other people besides you, or, and I would pick your boyfriend, who, who, you know, ferret out these stories.
He and I do the vast majority of pulling the stories and, you know, finding them. There is an option for people to submit stories that they find. You know, and so I absolutely welcome if you see something that's just a really great news story that should be shared. Absolutely, please send it on over. There's a, at the bottom of each page on the website, there's a submit a story link where you can just submit the URL and the headline, and I'll take care of the rest.
Well, this must keep you very busy.
It does. It keeps me busy, and I wasn't working when I started the project. I had gotten laid off, and now that I'm back working again, it's just, it's a nights and weekends thing to keep the site going.
Yes. Well, I'm just curious about, you probably were a news junkie at some point.
Totally. Totally, which is why I had to go on that news fast, because I found I would get depressed or agitated after reading the news.
Well, you never forget that. I was just going to say, I never forget, you're talking about an election cycle. The Kerry campaign, when Kerry caved in to Bush, I was up for three straight nights. Because I was so agitated by that news story that I almost had a nervous breakdown. And basically after that, I had to realize that you have to. I saw, you know, directly what sleep deprivation will do. I work nights so that you get kind of confused with days and nights anyway. But I just found myself not sleeping. It was about 3 days and total insanity. 3 days later, that I realized I just get too bent out of shape by the news, and I can't believe. But I was raised that way too, because my mother was completely taken up by all the news stories. And
absolutely.
As I said on my prayer blog today, we would watch the news and eat. And that came to an end. That came to an end when that Buddhist monk set himself on flames. There was a Buddhist rebellion in Vietnam, pretty much in the early 60s, and that was just terrifying. You know, there you are eating, and all of a sudden this person, a religious figure, just goes up in flames, and he did it to himself. That was even more intense, and we all thought it was just like, oh my gosh. So
it can't be good for the digestion.
At the very least, people really shouldn't watch the news and eat.
Exactly.
but many families do. We did it for years.
Absolutely. Yeah. I grew up the same way.
Yeah. That's just
And it really just boils down to a choice, you know, that you want to make of what are you going to put your attention on, what are you going to focus on, and where are you going to direct your energy? I just find it so much more refreshing to focus on all the things that are right in the world, because at the end of the day, I think all the good things that are happening easily could drown out all of the so-called negative things that are happening, probably a million to one. But it's that, you know, tiny percentage that we hear about, and the traditional news media in the past has tended not to think of these types of you know, positive or inspiring news stories as news.
I think that the cable-driven news networks sort of get their kicks out of crazy making. I mean, when you really think about it, it's total chaos what they are reporting, and they're just all excited and just freaked out about the stupidest things, and everybody gets sucked into it too. And I guess the latest, it doesn't matter what the latest story is. There's millions of them. The BP oil spill to me is one of the classic examples of everything is a disaster. Everything is
hopeless.
It's the end. Yeah, hopeless, hopelessness, despair, and I think a lot of people will come up with solutions. Go ahead, Jen.
I keep thinking, too, the networks schedule the news at dinner time and bedtime.
Uh-huh.
And to start the day.
Yep.
So, you know, you wake up, turn on the news, go to work, right? Come home from work, sit down to dinner, and watch the news. And then just before you go to bed, watch it one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's
absolutely
the normal, I think, more normal than we even know, schedule for so many people.
Well, don't forget, we're talking about a 24-hour news cycle now. That's
right. True.
That is taking over people's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And you become addicted to it.
Yeah. And at the same time, we can always make a choice because, you know, I like to remind people that the news outlets are in business and they're in the business to make money. And so they will put the news stories up that people are demanding. And so whether that's, you know, Lindsay Lohan is on her way to jail, or, you know, the oil Gulf oil situation or whatever, if that's what people are demanding, then the news organizations are only too happy to oblige because that's what makes them money. And we as news consumers can choose to, change and shift our focus to those more positive news stories. And I've seen just even over the past year, you know, slightly over a year since I launched the site, I am finding more and more positive news stories. And you know, for example, NBC News does their Making a Difference segment, which is, you know, some weeks it's on every night, other weeks it might be on one night a week. And from what I've read, it's their most popular segment, and that seems to have driven them to produce it more regularly.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so it's there's really a part that we all as news consumers can play in the process of, you know, consciously choosing not to watch the news about the oil spill or the latest, you know, celebrity to implode or whatever, and, you know, focusing on the positive. And I can tell you when I'm going and looking for news stories, I get sucked in sometimes as well where I see a headline. I'm like, oh, I really want to know what that is. And, you know, it's not a very positively slanted story, and I have to make myself not click.
Oh, good for
that,
you.
On that, just to say, okay, I better practice what I preach. And I win more than I lose that battle, and I still lose it every once in a while, but I'm getting better every day.
Are you finding your subscriber list is growing pretty rapidly?
It's growing. I mean, slowly but surely, it's growing. I'd always like for it to grow faster. And you know, I'm not spending huge amounts of money advertising or anything like that. So it's mostly word of mouth, and you know, people who find it through search engines and that sort of thing. And so, in light of that, I think it's grown pretty well. And that said, I'd always love to see, you know, millions of people coming every day.
Sure.
Well, that will happen.
That's my goal.
But
yeah,
if the networks are starting to do those kinds of shows, then that does give you some, confidence that you're headed in the right direction, that people are hungry for this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just the emails that I get from people, every once in a while thanking me for having this kind of site and how much they appreciate and appreciate hearing the good or reading about the good that's going on in the world is really, really heartwarming and is one of the things that really keeps me going because there are people who have written saying, you know, thank you for reminding me that there's good out there. I was, you know, really angry and depressed and, you know, whatever other emotions they were going through, and this helped them kind of snap out of it and remember the good.
Yes, because I think what happens is that people are drawn into that vortex of negativity, and they actually believe that everybody is out to get them.
Yeah.
You know, they don't trust anybody anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of that, and so one of the reasons why I set up kind of the content structure of the site the way I did is to enable people, no matter what their interest, they can hopefully find something good, whether it's arts and entertainment, and instead of this, you know, stories about a celebrity imploding, you know, it's here's the good stuff celebrities are doing, you know, charitable projects, helping people out, et cetera. In science and technology, there's always something new, you know, some new technology, some new advance in science, some new health cure or treatment. And so there's always something happening on a day-by-day basis, and it's just really a conscious, I'm sounding like a broken record, but it's really a conscious choice that we each make as individuals on where we're going to focus our attention. And so for those individuals who kind of get stuck in that vortex of negativity, it just takes one, you know, one thought, one decision to say, today I'm breaking the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Good News Gazette, and there's a handful of other positive news-oriented sites that are out there. And so, you know, I would encourage them, if Good News Gazette's not the right one, for you to take a look at, you know, all the other sites that are out there, and hopefully you'll find one that kind of can help facilitate that shift for you.
Yeah, it is a shift, isn't it?
It really is, and it's got to be a conscious shift, because it's so easy to kind of stay spiraling in that negativity.
Yeah.
So that you don't, it's almost to the point where you don't notice it. It becomes so the norm for your day-to-day that you don't even notice it's happening. And then one day a light bulb goes off and you're like, wow, I can choose something different. And so that's totally what I, you know, encourage people to do. And it's one of the reasons why I launched the site.
Do you get a lot of your news stories from, say, the Christian Science Monitor?
That's one of the sites I go to regularly. It's all mainstream media, and so it depends on any given day, you know, which ones. My boyfriend's name is Scott, and I just choose to go through.
Yeah.
To see which ones we can find, but the Christian Science Monitor is one of my favorites.
What other ones do you like?
You know, surprisingly, the networks all seem to have, you know, and it ebbs and flows in cycles, but NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and even Fox all have really wonderful video stories that we post, you know, that they've made available for, you know, posting on other sites. So we take advantage of that. We go to the New York Times, the LA Times, San Francisco papers, kind of all over the country. And we also do some international papers in the UK and Australia and New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try to balance it out wherever we can find English language news.
You put that stuff on the world category?
Yeah, the world, or, you know, it depends. It might be if it's a health-related story, if it comes from an international website, will still include it in health, you know, for example. It depends on the subject.
Have you seen the video about dolphins making bubbles?
Is that the one that came out, I think, sometime last year where they, through their blowholes?
Yeah, they make these bubbles.
And then swim through them?
And swim through them, yeah.
Have yeah, that's
that
so cool. I did see that last year. I think I put it up on the site.
That's so cool.
I know, it's totally cool. And I'll have to go back and look. I think I posted it on the site a long time ago, but I'll have to go back and double check.
So what is your favorite animal story? Or say the top five.
Oh, animal story? You know, it's
they're all the
animal buddy stories. There seemed to be a lot of them last year that I came across. One was about, and I think it was Bella the dog and Tara the elephant that were friends on an elephant sanctuary in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Is a wonderful, it's a totally just wonderful story, and how at one point the dog became ill and had to get, you know, taken to the little treatment facility, and was kind of off the grounds for a few weeks, and the elephant every day would come and just hang out outside waiting.
Oh my God.
Trying to check if her buddy was okay, which was just broke my heart, and it was so sweet. And there was another story about a dog and an orangutan who were best friends and just kind of did everything together. And it's just, I love stories like that because it's just so clear that love is not only a human emotion, it's universal.
Yeah.
And just to see those stories, you know, time and time again of, you know, for example, different, you know, animals of one species raising babies of another species.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a handful of those stories last year, mm-hmm. as well as early this year. And so it's just, it's like that nurturing, loving bond is such a universal theme. And it's great to get reminded of that.
Yes. It is a story of love, isn't it?
It really is, and it always makes me smile. Which, you know, you can't get better than that.
No. You know, Mary McManus is in the chat room, and she says that she...
Hi, Mary.
Yeah. And she has a Good News Gazette mug that she drinks her coffee out of.
Decaf, oh, yes.
Out of. Yeah. Is that a Cafe Press or is that Zazzle or?
It's a Cafe Press.
Mhm.
So I have that on the homepage if you want any gear. With the Good News Gazette logo, it's on. You can access it all through the homepage of the site.
Yes. Well, my wish for you is that you can do this full time and you don't have to go to a job. A job every day.
I like that. Wish. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It's obviously something that you would want. I think that you would love to do more.
Yeah, it's fun. It's so nice to just kind of choose to focus on the positive.
Yeah, it is. And
mm-hmm.
there's you know, things that people can actually run across in their lives that maybe aren't even in the news. Like the good news can be seen, and maybe the stories aren't even written. So you're talking about people submitting links to things
uh-huh.
out in the mainstream media. But do you have any other writers who might write for your site and write stories?
I do have a blog, and I've written original stories for the site as well. My kind of bandwidth to do so has gotten limited over the past few months. And I'm always willing to, if somebody wants to write a story and submit it, I'm absolutely always willing to consider posting it if it's a good fit and it's a great news story.
Right. Right.
Because one of the things I want to do is help get the word out of, you know, it doesn't have to be a network news story or be something being covered by, you know, mainstream media to be recognized as good. And anything I can do to help get the word out, even if it's just taking something that somebody else has written and introducing it to the Good News Gazette audience, it would be my joy to do.
That would be. I foresee that as something that would happen in the future. That
absolutely.
That it would evolve that way.
That is my desire, my fervent wish.
Yeah, I see that. Mary wants to know, what is your job?
Oh, I'm going. I'm back in the corporate world, doing corporate-y things. Corporate-y things.
And where do you live? Where do you live?
In San Francisco.
Oh, the corporate place.
Absolutely, absolutely. Not as corporate-y as some East Coast towns. But
no, that's true.
Fun. I'm having fun.
Oh, that's a beautiful city. Oh my gosh.
It is. It's lovely.
Lovely. I've lived there a few times, and there's always something happening there that of a spiritual nature. I would say that. People get kind of glazed over with spirituality because they've heard it all out there, but still, there's always something going on.
Absolutely.
In fact, the physician who we're having, you know, opening a spiritual retreat center here, and Leonard Lasko is coming to open it up for us, and he's has something called Opening to the Oneness Through Love. And he is was a very successful OBGYN physician in San Francisco and had a successful practice there until he, you know, turned his attention more to the healing arts.
Uh-huh.
But that would be a common San Francisco story, you know, physicians turned healers and stuff like that. You know, that kind of stuff doesn't happen around here very much.
Absolutely. And it would be, you know, even though it might be commonplace here, it would be a great story to, so I'll have to get that information from you when we're done.
Yes.
Because that's
yeah.
the only thing that would be wonderful to share with people, not only, you know, here in the States, but we get readers from, we're averaging 80 to 85 countries each month.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful and just to share in places where it might not be so common.
Yes, I think that we would all love to imagine our doctors and all of our nurses as being the healers that they really are, but they don't know that they are, you know. And
yeah.
Dr. Lasko has taught people how to, he had this thing that he taught called Bringing the Heart Back into Medicine. And we were successful with that back in the mid-90s, but I couldn't get anybody interested at my hospital this time around. But maybe in another year or so they will.
Mm-hmm.
This economic situation has kind of gotten people discouraged, I think, and so they didn't show any interest this time, but I think in time they will.
Yeah, I think so. You know, again, it's a choice because as people focus on things that are more uplifting, I think it helps accelerate the shift out of the economic doldrums. Because if you look at, you know, even basic economic theory, it says that so much of what happens in the market is psychological. You know, and as so they look, you know, a lot of economists look at the mood of what's happening in the country as a gauge and predictor of what the economy is going to do. And, you know, you look at consumer confidence index, for example, and how that's all tied in. And so I think it all boils down to the choices we make as individuals that kind of bubble up into the aggregate.
Right.
So yeah, hopefully as, you know, as people shift out of it, there hopefully will be a, you know, people who are more interested in hearing about the things you're describing, and you know, as they open themselves up to hear more about those things, they'll kind of accelerate that shift both within themselves and in kind of the overall mood in the country, so to speak.
Right. And I think that what you're doing is helping people to make that shift a little quicker. And I think that having, you know, doing what you're doing and then having news stations, I think it's all connected where the news stations are reporting more good news. It could be, it's kind of like the 100th monkey effect where when you put the ideas out there, it is picked up. In the consciousness, like what was it that Jung called it, the collective unconscious,
exactly,
where it needs to, you know, just flow on, and we need to encourage that. And you know, to turn off the news is and tell people about it, and tell people about sites like what you have, it's very important. Very, very important, because people live in a state of fear when they see all that stuff, and people really haven't turned off the news. And they are, it's a very fearful state of mind that put, you know, they watch the news and they start ranting and railing at the television set, and Some people even throw the television sets out the window and even shoot the TV. I've heard about people doing that.
Might not be a bad idea.
I've never gotten that mad.
Well, that would be one way to deal with it, wouldn't it?
Right.
Exactly.
Get rid of it. Of course, it might cause quite a mess.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting. I gave up cable recently.
Ah.
Which
we're on the verge.
Honestly,
we
been
are
a big
on the
adjustment.
Verge. Wow.
Yeah. And so we'll see how long it lasts. It's been probably a month or two at this point. But it was a huge adjustment because I, you know, until it's not there, I didn't realize how much. Even if I'm just doing things, puttering around the house, I used to have the TV on in the background to keep me company.
Yeah.
Sometimes, mm-hmm. And even if I wasn't actively watching, and so. It's really brought into my awareness how much it was a big part of my life. And so, you know, finding out...
Do you miss it? Do you miss it even after 2.5 months or a month and a half or whatever?
I do. I miss the History Channel. I'll do my little plug for the History Channel. Because I totally I used to watch the History Channel and Nat Geo and those types of channels pretty regularly.
Yeah.
And so it was a great way to learn new things. And so that's probably what I miss the most.
I tell you, I have a dear friend who has 4 children. They range in age from 6 to 16.
Mm-hmm.
But she did the same thing. Her daughter came in, the oldest child came in at the end of school 1 year, and her mom was just asking her what books she's read, you know, so
mm-hmm.
far. What books have you read? And have you read this one? Have you read that one? And she said, no, no, no. And she just immediately went to the telephone and called and canceled cable. And she said, this summer this family will read. Well, I went over one day, and honestly, and Kate's heard me tell this tale, but one of the little boys was out painting numbers on the curb, you know,
uh-huh.
for people, making him a little extra money and painting street numbers on the curbs, and another one was in there building something with Legos. I mean, you know, they were all into something.
Busy.
And not vegging out in front of a darn TV set.
Yeah. It's
and
really
we do
amazing.
That as a society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so much of it is
people.
So unconscious. Oh, sorry. Say that again?
It zombieizes people. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and we're all doing it so unconsciously.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's just nice to kind of peek up and check out what's going on in the world around us every once in a while.
Well, just think of that. That sounds to me, if you turn off the TV, you become more entrepreneurial.
Well, you think. You know, you have time to think. Because what the TV does, and we all turn it on in the background to, as you say, keep us company. But what it does is it keeps your subconscious busy with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really aren't processing, you aren't thinking until the machine is off. And I love TV as much as anybody, but I
mm-hmm.
also grew up without one. I'm a bit older than you all are. And, you know, we found things to do. You know, to entertain
play outside.
Ourselves.
Yeah, a lot of outdoor activity.
Yeah.
Instead of being inside watching TV. Yeah.
Right. We were outside. Well, you didn't even think about coming in. You
mm-hmm.
know, outside was the rule. You came inside, Mama gave you work to do. You know.
You wanted to avoid that as much as possible.
That's right. We don't like manual labor. So, you know, like, if you don't want to scrub woodwork, you better look like you're having fun if you're not, you know?
Right. That's great.
But I do think that's something that we have taken away from our children.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a bit aside from where you are, but the same principle exists, and the creativity that we're stifling frightens me. Doesn't frighten me. Let's see. Let me rephrase that. Challenges me.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
You know, to have children out figuring out how to build a wagon or a, you know, whatever, and instead of sitting watching a something, moving.
Absolutely. You just take a more active role in your life.
Do. You do instead of watch.
Exactly.
It's like being a participant at a basketball game or any athletic event. You know, it's fun to sit in the stands and cheer everybody on, but, you know, the players will tell you it's more fun to play. To be actually in the game.
You know, with children, they go through that stage of being industrious. And if you watch, if they're constantly watching television, it's almost like you've robbed them of a developmental stage.
Yeah. And there's a, and that's a window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you, when you close those little windows of development, then, you know, it's not something you're going to catch up on later. You've lost that opportunity. To learn.
Yeah.
It's never quite that simple again. But anyway, so, and so you do lots of children's stories. I took that away a bit, but you do a lot of children's stories, don't you?
I do. It's, you know, it's really, I don't actively plan that I'm going to look for only children's stories. Whatever I find on any given day, I post. And so since I'm not writing much original content these days, I'm at the mercy of what other news organizations are reporting. And it just, it always feels nice to see little kids, you know, there's one story that I posted last week about a little girl who grew a 40-pound cabbage. It was a CNN story. And then she decided to donate that to a soup kitchen and then really got engaged in helping feed the homeless. And so she's worked with organizations in her community, if I remember correctly, and gotten little plots of land where they can, you know, have community gardens where the food goes directly to the soup kitchen so people who are, you know, having challenges at the moment can get fresh produce in their meals.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And she's 11, and, you know, you listen to her speak, and she sounds so mature and so composed and has wisdom beyond her years. And that just, you know, I see stories like that, and my heart just smiles.
Right.
And I think that's something other people need to see.
That's pretty cool about the Facebook story about a man finding his son on Facebook. I guess he had to, that was just the last week.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he had been given up for adoption, the son, when he was a baby, and found his dad through Facebook, I forget how many years later, but it had been a while. So it's just, there's so much.
That happens probably more than we think on Facebook.
Absolutely, it's been happening more and more, obviously, lately as Facebook has grown, where that's the mechanism. It used to be, you know, hire a private investigator or do, you know, go look through county records or whatever, and Facebook's just facilitated that process that people were doing manually.
Oh, I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's,
and
one
of course,
the more positive sides of the internet, all the wonderful things, the wonderful reunions that are happening.
Absolutely, absolutely, and just, you know, there's you know, there was a story last week from NBC about people who lost their jobs as a result of the oil spill, and their company had to lay them off. And people who had seen the original news report on NBC, like, rallied and gave money and, you know, sent money to strangers that they, you know, didn't know to help them out. So it's not just people finding people, it's
helping,
creating
people,
connections.
Mm-hmm.
Where none otherwise, you know, there would have never been a possibility for an organic connection,
right,
between people from different parts of the country. And, you know, if you want to look for a silver lining for, you know, to all of the kind of tragedies that we've had over the past 12 months, for example, you know, whether it's the earthquake in Haiti or the oil crisis in the Gulf, it's, people's hearts, I think, have opened much wider, and there's just this incredible generosity that that we get to experience as a result of these tragedies. So that, you know, it's the one thing that I'm always trying to look for a silver lining for
right.
stories like that. And that's, and that in my mind is the biggest one, is that, you know, there are people whose hearts are opening as a result of all of the things that have happened over the past several years.
Well, and there are tons of really good people out there.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And it just
always
does the heart so good.
Mm-hmm. And we, I think we've, again, watched so much news that we think that the good folks are in the minority, and that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm.
Most
exactly.
That's exactly right.
Most
that's
people
right.
are good.
Absolutely.
And kind and loving and all of those things. And it's easy to forget that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Without.
Well, it'd be interesting to come up with stories about gang members who, you know, make it come out of that social, that community of, you know, destruction. And that, I'm sure there are a lot of stories like that.
There are, and I've posted a few, and I'm just trying to see if I can find them quickly, where people have come out of the gang world and, you know, come out of jail and are now going back and helping people, helping young kids who are kind of on that same path that they once were,
mm-hmm.
avoid it. And there's a few gentlemen I've posted stories about in L.A., who are doing exactly that, and I'll see if I can find them really quick. I'm forgetting names because this was from a while ago.
Yeah, when you think about it, the American judicial system and the prison system is that is bad news. And if you could help people stay away from that, it would be to the advantage of the whole society. Because
absolutely.
there really isn't any rehabilitation in the prison system. As for years, there's been talk of it, a lot of talk about it, but it really hasn't stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that would really be a good news story if somebody would come up with rehabilitation for the prisoners who. And there have been a lot of stories, though, about people going into the prison system with meditation. And
yeah.
The great book that I love so much is called We're All Doing Time.
Uh-huh.
Bo Lozak. I forget his name.
Yeah, Bo, forgetting his last name, but it's Bo something.
And he and Ram Dass took uh-huh. meditation into the prison system. And then more recently, there was another woman who took meditation into the, these people were hardened criminals and murderers, and
mm-hmm.
it just completely transforms them, the people who,
absolutely,
the men who, I don't believe there are too many women, but men, is these hardened criminals who were just completely lashing out, who you would think were bad people. But
mm-hmm.
the meditation really turned them around, and they became very, very, very compassionate and very loving. And just so the bad people that people envision are bad can
mm-hmm.
be good. Can be good. You can turn it around, I believe, with a higher power, spiritual, maybe some sort of 12-step thing. Because a lot of it is addiction-based
mm-hmm.
problems in the prison system, and if they and AA has helped a lot of people in the prison system, but we're talking more with a more powerful spiritual system of meditation that really helps people. But not everybody would, you know, respond to that either. There's
mm-hmm.
nothing. There's not a blanket answer for anything.
No.
So.
And I think it's Missouri, if I remember correctly, that has. Done the most work with bringing programs like meditation into its prison population, and if I remember correctly, the results they've seen, you know, the not only is the behavior of prisoners, for example, better, but the recidivism rate once people leave, you know, get released on parole or, you know, have finished serving out their sentence, is much lower for people who have gone through programs like that. And
right.
so if you think about it from just a fiscal management perspective, if it's something that works that well, that, you know, not only makes it easier for the, you know, the people running the prisons because the population is more under control behavior-wise, and it's reducing recidivism rates, which keeps kind of the cycle in and out of prison, those rates down, it's a win-win situation because people are, you know, stay in this kind of trying fiscal economy, don't have to spend as much.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a win-win. It's not just doing something because I think sometimes people think, oh, why are we doing, you know, giving the prisoners something? They're being punished. And, you know, there's always another way to look at it.
Oh, I agree. What we're giving, if we're starting spiritual programs of meditation in the prisons, it should be something that's started all over the place in the school systems and in hospitals and all the institutions. And I've noticed, too, that I really believe that marijuana should be legalized, not because I smoke it, but because, not that I haven't, but I mean, because I have recently, as a nurse, had a patient come back. She came in as a prisoner because she broke parole by smoking pot. And it was just ridiculous. You know, she's chained to a bed, and she's pregnant and all this and this and that. If marijuana were legalized, she wouldn't have had to endure such ridiculousness.
Hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I think that should be legalized right away. I mean, you would cut down the prison population in half probably because people are breaking their parole and doing all, you know,
especially
going
in California.
Well, in California, is marijuana legalized yet?
Not yet, but it's on the ballot for November.
Well, I hope that it's passed.
Well, medical marijuana is legalized. This is this is looking to legalize it broadly.
Well, let's face it. You're having a fiscal crisis there. That would be one way to remedy it.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of people are. That's why a lot of people are in favor of it. who might otherwise not have been.
Yeah. Do you think Jerry Brown will be the next governor?
I have no idea. I'm trying to stay away from all the politics until I have to pay attention. Politics, just for the record, generally tends to make me not feel good.
Just for the record, it has the same effect on me. Yeah. I think that we could, California could legalize marijuana and pass single payer, and you guys would be out of a fiscal mess overnight.
We'll see. What
like
happens.
That. Yeah. Yeah, okay, we won't talk about Jerry Brown anymore, or Governor Schwarzenegger.
We're having such a good time. Why bring politics into it?
Yeah. Why talk about them?
Exactly.
Yes, recently I was involved in a local political campaign, and I noticed that I got drugged down so fast that I had to step out of that really fast.
Yeah.
It was so ridiculous. On a local level, you would hope that it would be different, but the same sort of backbiting, you know, the same sort of old school thinking of that your opponent is some sort of enemy. And I thought to myself, oh, my God, this is sick. So I was happy to step right out of that and did it gladly.
Yeah, it's all about making – that's politics tends to be all about making the other person wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why I try to – I used to be such a political junkie and had to kind of step away.
Permanently.
Yeah. No, I got sucked back in 2008.
Was that when you stepped away?
No, I stepped away years before that, but I got sucked back in to, you know, having to pay attention with with, you know, the run-up to the election in the fall and then the financial crisis and all of that. I got sucked back into that mire of, that quagmire of yucky news.
Well, I had
to extricate myself from.
I bless all of us and hope that we don't ever go back. I mean, I have to get rid of the cable. That's the next step. And just before the show, my husband said to me that, he said, tell everybody on the show that I'm going to get rid of cable.
All right, we're witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can only hope that that's true.
We won't do that in my house, I can assure you. With all the ball games on.
That's the one challenge. I waited until after, so it's probably been a month, I waited until after the NBA finals were done.
Well, yeah, sports is something else again. I mean, you can't really see that stuff. And also elections. We did not have cable for a long time, and one of the elections came and went. It was the Al Gore election with Bush in 2000.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have cable then, but all I wanted to do was watch television. It was sick, and I couldn't see it anywhere because we didn't have it. So then we get it to watch the next election, and that was just as disappointing. So, oh, well. It's just going to continue to be that way. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not going to improve. It's not going to get, by plugging into that stuff, it's just not going to reward you in any way.
Mm-mm.
Now,
and
sports is different.
You can always hold.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, you could hold those people in prayer. And so that's,
absolutely.
That's kind of when I do get sucked in, before I cancel my cable, into those negative stories, I would use that as a prayer request. I think Reverend Michael Beckwith talked about that, is using the news, you know, whether it's the newspaper or what you see on cable, as your prayer request.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really great way to turn kind of the seeming negative and you know, take individual action to turn it on its head.
I was wondering, too, I've got to ask you a quick question, but
mm-hmm.
you all are spending... Say you spend, 2 hours a day researching, looking for articles, or you spend more time
it's
than
probably
that?
Like, it's probably 3 to 4 hours a day between looking for stories and posting them.
That has to change your own life view.
Mm-hmm.
Because
say that again? It has to change my own
life? Life view. In other words, it has
mm-hmm.
to change how you, yourself, the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
View your everyday life if you're spending so much time looking for positive stories,
absolutely
good news, then it has to be I'm just thinking what a good dose of a vitamin that is, you know.
It's better than any sunshine
world.
I know.
Huh?
Like
better than any sunshine I know,
right? The very work that you are doing lifts you.
Absolutely
because
it's all a question of, you know, where am I focusing my attention?
Right.
And there are days when I get sucked in, you know, I see the negative headlines and I'm like, I want to know what that's about. And I get sucked in, and then my mood shifts and I realize why I shouldn't do that.
But don't
yeah.
you think, too,
yeah.
I'm kind of a news junkie, too. I'm not as, but anyway... Don't you think that it's a matter of balance? I mean, you want to know enough about what's going on in the world to be knowledgeable
mm-hmm.
to an extent, but just not focus on it all the time.
Yeah. And just, you know, when you say you want to be knowledgeable about it, like really dig deep and understand, like, why do I need to be knowledgeable? Like, what am I getting out of that knowledge?
Well,
and is there better knowledge
that
I could be seeking out?
Right. Right.
Yes.
Just as a responsible citizen, I think, and I have something about that, at least knowing what's going on. I can't let go of that, I'm afraid. But I can turn off the TV and say, Or my big thing is to turn on Home and Garden and watch people buy houses. I can do that.
Nice.
Yeah. And let that be the background noise, and then it's not, you know,
right,
not giving me high blood pressure, but it does stifle the creativity subconsciously, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too.
You know, they say with students that, you know, the high school kids turn on the TV to do their homework. And a therapist told me one time they do that for a reason, because there's so much going on in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
They need the TV to distract that part of their mind just a little bit so they can concentrate
mm-hmm.
on their schoolwork, which makes
right.
sense.
Yeah.
But you think about as adults, if you've got that thing going on all the time, then you're
yeah.
stifling something.
Yep.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great way to avoid whatever needs to get done in your
right.
life or in one's life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. To avoid thinking something through. It's
mm-hmm.
like it's the same avoidance game for me as trying to write my 3 pages a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's
yes, that
it's
is
the
a
same
challenge.
Little thing. It's like, I don't think I want to go there right now. You know.
Yeah.
There has to be something else I can find to do. What's on the news?
Exactly.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or my favorite, when I was in grad school, I would clean the apartment to avoid studying.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And so,
well, that's a good
yeah.
way to clean the apartment. Yeah.
I know. My apartment was spotless.
Oh, that's hysterical.
I was a procrastinator on the studying front.
That's funny. That's like
well,
when
yeah.
Randy recently asked our granddaughter if she wanted to be a part of the golf clinic the next week. And she says, Dad, I think I've got to clean my room that day.
Well,
so I see I'm not alone.
She's 7. You know, she's a little one. But,
that's
yeah,
funny.
We all do it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess she doesn't like golf, does she?
No, not like the rest of them. Says, no, I think I've got to clean my room that day. I'm like, oh,
that's
oh.
Funny.
She's smart, isn't she? Oh, my
oh,
gosh.
Yeah.
Totally.
Anything to avoid doing something you don't want to do, you know?
Absolutely. That's great.
What's
yeah,
your poison,
yeah.
right?
Exactly. Exactly. We're all avoiding doing something.
Right. Right.
That's true. So, do you have any closing good news for all of us?
Closing good news. I'm trying to think. There's so many great stories. If you want a quick, it's not a newsy story, but it's a little video I came across last year. That is part of my feel-good videos section on the video page, and it's called Tweenbots, and it's this woman in New York who was doing a study to see how people would react to little mini robots, and to see whether or not people in New York would kind of take care of a little robot who was on a mission to get from point A to point B in the city. And it's just, every time I watch it, it makes me smile because it's so sweet how people, I'll spoiler alert, people do actually help the little robot get to where he needs to go.
Oh.
And it's just, it's so sweet. And it's just, it's one of those unexpected examples of how people are really innately good. And, it's just another fun way to be reminded of that.
Let's be sure and give your website again, too, please.
Yeah, sure. It's Good News Gazette, and it's www.goodnewsgazette.net.
.net. That's what we were
uh-huh.
trying to figure in the chat room.
Yeah.
Good News Gazette.
Sorry, yeah, I've tried to get into the chat room, and it didn't work for some reason, so.
.net, that's fine.
.net.
You know,
but I think if you also go to .org, it redirects you.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It does, or even .com is what I've been using, and it gets there.
.com,
yeah,
I don't own that domain, unfortunately.
Okay. How about the subway? In the subway, I love the story of a world-class musician who makes millions of dollars a year playing the violin in Boston or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he played the violin in the subway and people in Manhattan, and people just passed him by. Nobody even stopped to listen.
I have not seen that story.
Yeah, well, that's not necessarily a good news story, but it is in a way, because here is a man who who's just one of the best violinists in the world, and he plays in a subway, and people are rushing by, and don't even stop to realize that this is excellent, and it gives people a perception. It's a perception story where if you go to a concert hall and pay $100 to see this man, you'll listen. But if you're rushing through the subway, you may not recognize, or you aren't
right.
Listening. You aren't slowing down. You're just rushing. I love
yeah.
that story. I wrote
that's
a prayer
great.
About it one time. Yeah.
That's so great, just about being present in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love the
yeah.
one where the opera cast come out and do in the middle of the crowd. The middle of Grand Central Station, or in the middle of a shopping mall, and they begin to perform and watch
mm-hmm.
the people stop and listen. Those always make me feel good.
Yes, that's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've reached the end of the time here.
Thank you so much.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes.
We appreciate it. We appreciate this topic. I think it's absolutely wonderful.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about good news.
Wonderful. Thank you. Hope
you
come
back.
Thank you. Of course.
Yes.
Thank
you.
That
would be fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have a blessed evening.
Blessed to you. We're going to play music for Mother and Child again.
Thank you.